Didn't realize how much time we'd spent in the book of Hebrews, but it's a very deep book in many places, written to Jewish brethren by none other than the Apostle Paul. We've already discussed some of the reasons that we're privileged to know for that, and we'll move forward in the chapter of faith. Bring this to remembrance. Christ died for our sins by the predetermined counsel of God to save us from our sins, that when we leave this world of sin, that we will dwell in heaven in immortal glory, a place that we cannot begin to imagine while we live in this body of flesh. But while we live in this world, the world around us is dark. We can look through history as we've gone through these things and see the condition of the world from time to time, the darkness that God's children are surrounded by. And as we've gone through this book of chapter of faith, we see that every time God would send them someone to save them, to judge them, to intercede in a sense for them, all pointing to Christ, the Lord. Paul telling these Jewish brethren about their heroes in the faith, Christian faith, grace, not the law. We've talked about Gideon, we've talked about Barak, we talked last week, I believe, about Samson, and I brought my book today. And today we come down to Jephthah. This is a sad story. And as I say story, I mean it's a sad truth. I don't mean it's a fairy tale. This book is not fables. This book is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And it's perfect and it's true. If we look at Jephthah, I like to think about how we live today, because we have the same faith they have by the same way they got it. By the hand of God, by the birth of the Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is faith. You have faith because God placed it there. Boast not on your faith, for your faith is in Christ. For He revealed these things unto you. Again, John 17, where He said, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Many people hear the gospel preached and do not understand it because God hath not given them revelation. Many, because they are not of God, and the natural man receiveth not the things of God, nor can he, for he is spiritually discerned. And many do not understand, as we've talked about the last two Sundays here, because they were not taught, which emphasizes the importance of preaching the gospel. You sit here, born of the Spirit of God, with a hunger and thirst after righteousness. You seek God and His righteousness. That tells me you're born of the Spirit of God. That tells me that you are enabled of God to understand the truth. And we thank God for that. We're here to bear witness unto God, and we're thankful for that. Beginning chapter 11, he's talking about Jephthah. He was a Gileadite. He was a mighty man of valor, and he was a son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. In the 70s, I remember especially in the times of religion, so many people that were in school, both when I was in grammar school and moved up to high school, so many people were being touched by what I guess to them was a religious experience. I remember the things they taught. I remember the things they said. You've got to work your way to God. You've got to accept Him. You've got to believe in Him. You've got to lay hands on Him. You've got to walk with Him. Your former sins are forgiven and you cannot sin again. That's all a lie. You're saved in the blood of Christ because the Father gave you to Christ before the foundation of the world. And Christ came to this world in the fullness of time and died for those the Father gave him. That's why you know Christ. That's why you have faith. You're among the elect of God, and God gave you faith. I say that to make a point of the hypocrisy of men's teachings today. Same hypocrisy that Christ had when he sat with sinners, publicans, and sinners, and was condemned of a Pharisee, and the Lord said, I come not to call the righteous. First of all, there's none righteous. They were righteous in their own minds. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here we see the publicans. Here we see the sinners. Here we see the harlots. We see Rahab again. In Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Christ coming from David himself. We are all sinners. Our existence is sin. Here is a man whose mother was a harlot. His father, Gilead, went in unto a harlot, and she bore him a child, and this is Jephthah. When people point to someone and try to make you see and feel, that they want you to feel how low you are because of whatever standing you come from naturally, genealogy, finances, whatever. You need to understand that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And in one place it said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Most of the Lord's children at that time that he came were not privileged to the things that the Pharisees and scribes were supposed to give them. I'm getting around the point here. I realize that, but I want you to understand that this man was born of a harlot and hated of his brothers. And this man is a child of God. This man is mentioned in the chapter of faith. This man is born of the Spirit of God. There's no other way to have faith. Jephthah was a mighty man of valor. Jephthah was a soldier. Jephthah was a strong man. Jephthah was a hard man. I'll tell you a little secret. When a man who has the making inside to be a soldier, law enforcement, whatever, when he goes about his warfare, whether it's on the fields of battle overseas or on the streets of the ghettos in our inner cities, he goes through things. He sees things. He does things. He walks through things. The more he does and dwells in this situation, the harder he becomes. We train soldiers today to go fight wars. They go fight wars, most of them in my mind unjust. And they come back and they're still violent. They've spent their life fighting. That's all they know to do. They've been trained to fight. And then we want to punish them. We want to condemn them. Jephthah was a man of war. He was a man, a hard-nosed man. God uses hard-nosed men. Who protects our borders when they're protected? Who fights battles for this country? It's not the weak at heart. Who fights evil and crime in the streets while you're asleep at night to keep someone from coming into your house while you're sleeping? Hard men. God uses hard men. I'm so tired of this thinking that we've got to be college educated, wearing pretty suits and double-breasted coats and vests and pretty curly hair and all these things that men want to paint that a minister should be this day. There's one thing a man needs to be a minister, and that's to be called of God to do so. And that is all. And God calls those from the wise and educated like the Apostle Paul to those like Peter and James and John, hard men. Now Gilead was Jephthah was a Gilead. His father went into a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And what I said just a moment ago up to this point ties into faith. Because we have to understand these things and have faith in God. This world is not a pretty place. This world is not a good place. This world is dark. It's full of death. It's full of sin. We need faith. We need everything God provides us. And we ought to be thanking God for men like this. Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. Here's his wife. Gilead's not from the wife. She's from the harlot. They look down upon him. They thrust him out. Said, you're not going, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. I don't care who your mother is. I don't care who your daddy is. I don't care who your brother is or anybody else. We're looking at an individual whose father is God, whose brother is Christ, even though at this point in time he may not have had any knowledge of that, for he's in the land of paganism. As you see, as we go through this, he had probably been led that way, because remember, the children of Israel sinned and the children of Israel did wicked in the sight of the Lord. That begins very many of these chapters and very many of these texts. He was very probably not brought up in a household where the law of Moses, as it's called, was taught. They thrust him out. You're the son of a harlot. They look down upon him. They look down upon his mother, the harlot. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren. You understand that he fled, okay? He didn't leave. He fled. That inclines me to think there was some great encouragement for him to leave, possibly violence upon him. He fled and dwelt there in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. Vain men. The whole world is vanity, said the preacher. These vain men were probably, since they came with him and they united with him, the history of Josephus has, says they were soldiers and they fought with him. These were not men you'd expect to see at the Sunday school, at the local Arminian church. These were hard men. And hard men serve a purpose. It came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. Time out for just a moment. The Ammonites and the Moabites. When God sent an angel and took Lot by the hand, you think God's not persistent? And God is gentle. He took him by the hand and led him out of Sodom before God destroyed the city. They were in a cave because that righteous man, Scripture says he was, vexed his righteous soul, was afraid to live in the cities. He just seen this city overthrown by God in heaven above. He's in a cave. Here's an old man. He's got no sons. His daughters And I'm not going into all that, but his daughters got him drunk with wine. The first night, one of his daughters lay with him. He knew it not. He was drunken and asleep. The second night, the other one did the same thing. I say that to make a point. I say that to make a point. Their children that were born to them from Lot are the Ammonites and the Moabites. Here we have an Ammon, the children of Ammon, descendants from Lot, a righteous man. First of all, this is not saying Ammonites are devils or demons or all of them are going to Hades. This is saying plainly that they're of Ammon. And they were enemies to God's people. Now, we're talking about faith, okay? We have to understand that many people that we see in this world today are related to us in Christ. Many of them may not know it yet. They may be enemies against us in this world. Paul talks about the Jews being enemies of the gospel. But when we stand in heaven in immortal glory, every child of God, every elect of God, taken from among the Gentiles or the Jews, will be in heaven in immortal glory together with Christ. And I'll give you another example before leaving on, or a fact. These two girls did what they thought was right. And in one sense, it was according to the law, for the law had said, if thy brother dies and has no seed, that you would take his wife and bring up seed to your brother. Perhaps that's what they were trying to do. But you look at the end outcome, temporally speaking, in time, their act and the children that came from those acts were actually enemies of God's people. Now, it came to pass in process of time, the children of Ammon made war against Israel. Here's a fight. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. We've ran this man off. He's a great soldier. He's a great fighter, but his mother's a harlot. What does that make him? Doesn't make him anything. He's a child of God because he's got faith. He's in the chapter of faith. Gather my thoughts. We're all the same in Christ. They came to him. You know, I don't know how it is with soldiers. I've never been one. But when you come up in the time that I came in law enforcement, you police the streets. There comes a time 15 years down the road when that's not acceptable anymore. And they want to hide you somewhere. Go over here. Don't let us hear you. Don't let us see you. But then you're going to be the first one they call when things break loose and get crazy. And this is the same thing that happened with Ammon. This great man of valor, this great leader, this great soldier, the son of Gilead and harlot, go fetch him and let's bring him back into Judah and fight into Israel and fight for us and lead our armies. This is about faith now, the faith of Jephthah. Come be our captain, that we might fight with the children of Ammon. Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you coming to me now when you're in distress? Because they were in distress. And I got news for you. The nature of man in a situation like this is when you've delivered them from their distress, they abandon you. They'd already done it with the judges of Israel. They'd already done it with the priest that led them. When they're delivered, when they're through, they turn you aside. Jephthah needed faith. Jephthah had faith. Faith to lead. Faith to do what he was to do. They said, come lead us. We'll make thee ruler. And that's what he agreed to do. And I'm going to move forward a little bit. Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all the words before the Lord in Mizpah. There's proof of Jephthah's faith. Jephthah is praying to God. He uttered these words to God. He repeated the words that were said unto him to the Lord in heaven. He's praying. He's asking for guidance. He's asking for strength. He's asking for the providence of God in the matter. Faith is when we look at God. Faith is when we believe God. He knows, he believes that God is able, for God hath revealed it to him through faith by the birth of the Spirit. And he's seeking him. We depend on that same faith, that same gift, that same fruit of faith today as we walk in this land on the verge of war at every corner of the earth, children being exploited and killed and murdered, old people being taken and cast aside to die. And no one caring, not to mention the lies and the false teachings in so-called religion of man, which glorifies man and not God. So they agreed to this, and he prayed to God. Listen to the wisdom of the man. Again, in verse 12, chapter 11 of Judges, Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the children of Ammon. You see, he's going to try to talk to him first. He's not just going to raise up and come down upon them. Perhaps a wicked man who had no fear of God and no remorse whatsoever if a wicked man had destroyed the entire place without any warning, any word, any signal. He's not like that. He's a man of faith. He's prayed to God. Even towards those who were his enemies. I'm going to tell you, my fourth or fifth night out of the academy, and this is just a quick story to give you a lesson from it. I pulled up at West Jefferson Prison because I was working for the prison system. There wasn't a light in the place. Thunderstorm had come through. That place was famous for losing power. And when it did, the lights went out. And the generators did not kick on. So you've got 1,100 convicts living in dormitories that are attacking each other and doing vile things to those that were weaker, as the wicked do. And we came in. I never forget it. I got out of the car. The commissioner threw me a 12-gauge. Said, go stand in front of D dorm. Everybody comes out, shoot them. That was at a prison. And then we went in and restored order, and the lights were repaired. People asked me, why would you do that? Why would you go to save these convicts, these inmates, these prisoners when they're fighting each other? God has a people in prison, brethren. It's not just the wicked. And my point behind that, first and foremost, it's right. But you save men if you can. Jephthah was trying to save men. He wrote them and spoke to them, sent messengers. Why are you coming to take my land? The king of Ammon answered him, this was our land, basically, and you took it. When your children came through, when your God, and I'm putting that in there, but that makes a point, for it was our God, the I Am, self-existent God, delivered Israel out of Egypt and parted the Red Sea. You saw You took our land as you came through. Jephthah responded, we did not take your land. Our God delivered you into our hand because ye would not let us pass. And therefore God took the land from you and gave it to us. Do you see what he's doing in his explanation back to the king of Ammon? And even talked about the Moabites, for they did the same thing. It's not our fault. It's your fault because you resisted the will of the God of heaven, who is our God and who delivered us and gave us your land. Shall we not possess that which God conquers and gives to us? There is a faith there in God which is manifested very heavily. And he sent messengers again, and they refused. So we come down. I'll start in verse 24, dealing with these kings. Will not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? Their God, little g, does not exist. So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them we will possess. That's people and land. And now art thou anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel? Did he ever fight against them? You see the result of fighting with our God, of resisting our God. And we come on down in verse 27. He says, wherefore I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me, the Lord the judge. Be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. And howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not to the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. Paragraph marker, beginning a new text. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. The Spirit of the Lord was on Samson. The Spirit of the Lord was on Moses. The Spirit of the Lord was on Barak. The Spirit of the Lord was on Gideon. It moves men. It leads men. It teaches men. It first gave them birth of the Spirit. And all of these things follow. He passed over Gilead, Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he passed over to the children of Ammon. He's coming to fight a battle. We're talking about the faith of this hard-nosed man of valor. He's been thrust out of his house. Then they sought him back to lead them in battle, that they would be victorious. For out of all Israel, all the nation, they had not a man who could stand as strong in faith of God and fight a battle against a physical enemy than Jephthah. And he prayed to God. He already had faith before the Spirit came upon him in verse 29. Here's something I do not understand. This is one of the saddest texts in the Bible to me. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. That's a natural thing. And when we have children, between a man and a woman, is you love them. One of my pet peeves is what happens to children this day, whether it's in the womb, whether it's child trafficking, or whatever the abuse of children are. You could sit and listen to Joshua talk about some of the things that he goes through in St. Clair County, Alabama, not inner city. This is hard for me to understand. But you've got to understand that these people had been brought up under the law of Moses to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. They didn't have the understanding of these sacrifices that we do. They all pointed to Christ. Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice. That's done. That's finished. But they were taught to do so. This is why we teach our children, that they'll be taught to do so, that they'll know it peradventure the Lord gives them a heart of desire. They will do it. This goes all the way back to Abel after Adam sinned, offering a sacrifice to God because we're sinners. This goes all the way back to God clothing Adam and Eve with the skins of animals. Something had to die. There was an offering made. It was commonplace for the people of Israel to offer an offering unto the Lord due to His love, due to His grace, due to His mercy, fully realizing they weren't born the children of God. They were chosen to be the children of God by God Himself. They had absolutely nothing to do with it, just as we don't today. We're in the election of grace. Christ died for us. We have nothing to do with that. We had nothing to do with that. We never will have any power in that at all, but yet we shall stand in the power of the Christ in the resurrection of the dead, and we shall forever be with the Lord. Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, "If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands." Okay. Time out. I have read these things since I was old enough to read. Daddy bought me my first Bible. I was about 10 or 11 years old. I've still got it at home. I read it, small print, then I could see it. I'd read these things. And the first thing that always made me think, why would a man who is flesh and blood and unable to cease from sin, unable to save himself, whose very existence is sin as long as he lives in this body, why would mortal man make a vow with God? I know I cannot keep it. God is the only covenant keeper. But yet, Jephthah did. He said, "If thou wilt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." Making a vow to God. I'll give you some history. I was not even born. My grandfather, Newt Hartsfield, and my grandmother, Magdalene Hartsfield, were living down the road there a few miles in Sterrett. My aunt, Martha, we called her Tiny, was very sick. Sick to the point of death. Now, my granddaddy grew up in a bootlegger's house. They made whiskey and sold it. That's how they made money, that and farming. That's what he was taught. That's what he did. Times were hard, depression and all. And they sold whiskey until God got a hold of him. Died a deacon in this church. But I'm making the point of vows. For Tiny was sick nigh unto death. And my grandfather, I've been told, got down on his knees and prayed to the Lord God in heaven through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he prayed, "Lord, I have been a wicked man all the days of my life. If you will save this child, I will turn away from what I have been." That's a vow. And my eyes, The Lord saved her from whatever was wrong with her. And it was not long after when my grandparents and some brethren from Leeds Church cleaned the building up that was here where all the members had died out because the only transportation they had were mules and wagons. And when those people died, there were none to replace them. And they cleaned the building off, the briars, and they reconstituted the church. He vowed a vow to the Lord, and the Lord blessed it. I don't know what stayed on his mind. I don't know what else he did. I was not there. I'm telling you a true fact. I'm also telling you, knowing what I am, that I will not make a vow to the God of heaven because I can do absolutely nothing to keep it. But he made a vow. Whatever comes out of my house when I return home, whatever, not who, whatever. Could have been an animal. But he vowed to the Lord. That was a very foolish thing to do. God does not need us to work. God does not need our bargains and agreements to work. God does not need anything. God's providence works in our lives by His grace and His mercy and by the blood of Christ and by leadership of the Holy Spirit. Yet Jephthah made a vow. As I said earlier, it's thought by the historian that he grew up in paganism, which the Israelites had fallen into. You want to know why the old primitive Baptists will not change one single thing? Because what God and Christ established is perfect. And we do not need to alter it in any way so that our children will not grow up as Jephthah was in paganism. It's all in Christ. This is all dealing with faith. Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hand. Did you catch that? In faith, he obeyed what he was sent to do, knowing that God was able to deliver them into his hand. He was born of the Spirit. He had faith. He was born of the Spirit. He prayed. God had blessed him. No matter what other people in Israel thought, no matter how they had looked down upon him, despising him, loathing him, looking down the end of their nose because he was the son of a harlot. The Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aroer, even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities. 20 cities. Let that sink in. 20 Birminghams. 20 Atlantas. And under the plain of the vineyards, the farms, with a very great slaughter. God delivered them. The Lord delivered them. Let me go past that. The Son of God delivered them. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house. He smote them from there, and the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. New text, paragraph marker, verse 34. Jephthah came to Mizpah into his house. He's coming home. No doubt the noise from the victory had spread. People talking. Some talking about this great leader, this son of the harlot. some for good, some for bad. Some talking about, look what the Lord has done. That's what we need to be saying. Look what the Lord has done. The Lord delivers our enemies into our hands. We've got a nation that is on the verge of civil war. We're on the verge of losing every liberty that our founding fathers, who came here to worship God in spirit and truth, delivered to us. We're at liberty, this whole republic, we're in danger of this whole republic falling to the wicked. It won't be governments that save us. It will be the Lord that delivers our enemies, His enemies, into our hands. Jephthah came, and you take that in faith. And Jephthah came to Mizpah to his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with the timbrels and with dances. She's celebrating his victory. This is his only daughter. This is his only child. Okay? And she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, remember this foolish vow. And when it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes, he ripped them open. Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. Because he'd made a very foolish vow to God. But he made it in faith, as wrong as it was. We do things in faith sometimes that are wrong. We've seen that in this chapter. But we do things in faith, looking to Christ and God, and God forgives us. And God carries us. Because as you've seen through all this, we're all sinners. We all rebel against God and the Holy Spirit by our very nature. But by faith, we know that He is going to carry us. Let us not forget that. Alas, my daughter, he says to her, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. Some people say he's blaming her for coming out first. That's very possible, but I don't believe it. He brought her low because he made a vow to God. She's the first thing that came out. He's bound by the vow he made to slay his daughter. That breaks my heart. It rips it out of my chest. For I, here we go, have opened my mouth. Whose fault is it? Look in the mirror. Unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Now listen, you want to talk about faith? Let's look at this girl's faith. Let him have a name for her. Let's look at his daughter's faith. Kind of sounds like Isaac to me, when Abraham offered him up upon Mount Moriah. She said to him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which proceedeth out of thy mouth. This was a wrong gesture on him, a wrong thing to do in my eyes, but he did it in faith. This young girl comes out. I say she's young because she's going to bewail her virginity. She's not married. She's not old enough. She doesn't have children. So she's obviously a fairly young girl. Look at her faith. Look at what God blessed her for. Brethren, sometimes we face things in life. Many times by our own doing, many times without our doing. This world is a vicious, dark place. But we see things, we do things, we go through things, we experience things, we feel things. By faith, we've got to understand the providence of God in our life. By faith, we have to understand that even things that we don't see down the road, God lets something or allows something or causes something to do here, that the things down the road will be better. That it will work more to the purpose of God and the providence of God in our life. This dear child of God says, do as you swore to the Lord. We need to understand that ought to be our prayer daily. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. What did the man, Jesus Christ, pray in the garden? If it be possible, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done. That should be our prayer daily. Bible says, reconcile thyself to God. God's already reconciled us to Him in the blood of Christ. What we're to do is to reconcile our bodies, our thinking, our beliefs, our life unto the will of God. Lord, thy will be done. She said, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. For she was a virgin and had not yet had child. And he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. Now, there are theologians who take the word of God and change it. They'll take what you say or what I say, or we were talking earlier about people changing things Spurgeon said. They will change it. There are theologians that will tell you this day, well, he did not kill her. He just let her stay in the mountains. And they never saw her again. Different things that men say with a warm fuzzy in their heart, like they're making it better. The only way is God's way. The only correct way, the only true way. And it will be God's word way, whether we reconcile ourselves to it or not. She bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. We do much better and very much peace when we pray and believe, Lord, thy will be done. Thou art the creator of heaven and earth. Let all things be done according to thy will. Okay. We have great peace because the end is victory. The end is eternity with Christ. He said, go and send her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. Okay, these men want to change things and say things. Well, she didn't really die, didn't really kill her. He sent her away. She stayed in the mountains. Whatever vain excuse they have with the vanity of man and their mind and their weak fleshly hearts not realizing the power and the will of God is perfect. Josephus said just exactly what, catch this, just exactly what the Holy Spirit of God penned in the book of Judges. All scripture is given of God by inspiration of the Holy Spirit by holy men of God as they were moved to pen these things. The Bible says he completed his vow and he offered her as a burnt sacrifice to the Lord. Of faith in God. Paganism he'd been brought up in, yet faith of God. God gives you faith. God gives you life And that faith is the fruit of life. The daughters of Israel, won't you lead to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gilead 4 days in a year. My time is almost up, but I want to briefly talk about chapter 12, the first seven verses. It also deals with faith. The men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, went northward, and said to Jephthah, "Wherefore passedest thou over to fight the children of Ammon and didn't call us to go with thee?" Well, we wanted to go. Jephthah plainly tells them, "You knew my situation. You were sent word of our situation. Yet you did not come." They were afraid. But now that Jephthah, has conquered these lands, their very own brethren of the stock of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, those of Ephraim, wanted to partake in the spoils. You ever ran across that religiously? You ever run across that in a church way? You got all these blasphemous doctrines around us of the Arminians and others. Why don't you come go with us? Well, I tell you, when they see the truth and God blesses them to understand it, they want to be here. But the point here in this is the faith of Jephthah. And Jephthah ended up slaying, if I can find, 42,000 of the men of Ephraim in the battle that ensued. Jephthah judged Israel, this son of the harlot, really makes you think, what am I? Where did I come from? I made comment here recently, is the reason God picked the Jews to represent the common man so we could see their stiff neck. So we can see their belligerence, their aggression, their rebellion, that we might understand that this is us. Jephthah judged Israel 6 years, and Jephthah then died, Jephthah the Gileadite, and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. It's not even recorded in here where he's buried because it does not matter. The Bible talks about his faith.